I want you to take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Is it a joy to be with you this afternoon? And Brother Harold Vaughn has kind of assigned me a subject today, the pastor in revival. And I want to say from the very outset that I am no authority on revival, but I will tell you from my experience in Scripture some things that we can do as pastors about revival. I want us to look at Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians, the heavenlies of the New Testament. You'll find in the book of Ephesians that Paul prayed two prayers for the Ephesian believers. He prayed a prayer of enlightenment that God would open up the eyes of their understanding. And then he prayed a prayer of enablement, an enablement that God might strengthen them in the inner man. Look what he says, if you would please, in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 3 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says in verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be what?
Glory,
glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church." I believe that is revival. When God manifests his glory in the church. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that he, the Holy Spirit of God, would be our teacher, that God should lead us, that God should guide us. Help me, Lord, to give a challenge, God, to these good men. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, use us, and I pray you bless now our time together. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for thy sake we pray, amen and amen. The word glory is found about 400 times in the Word of God. It's one of the great words of the Bible. Sometimes when I read the Word of God, I'm blessed by a book. I find comfort in a chapter. And I find help in a word. And one of those words that helps me when I read is the word glory. Whatever begins with grace will end in glory. Paul says in this prayer, he prays that they might be strengthened, that they might have enablement. And then he ends that prayer with, "Unto him be glory in the church." One of the reasons why God gives us his power is that he might be glorified, that there might be glory in the church. God manifests his glory in three places. God manifested his glory, first of all, in creation. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. I believe in a supernatural creation. I know you do as well. This universe did not begin with a big bang. It's going to end with a big bang. Amen. By the supernatural power of God, God created this universe, stepped down behind the curtain of nowhere, stepped on the platform of nothing, and spoke the worlds into existence. God's glory is revealed in creation. God's glory is also revealed in his Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 3 that Jesus is the express image of his person, being the brightness of his glory. Jesus Christ was more than just a good man. He was the God-man. Amen. He was all God as though he was not man, all man as though he was not God. He was not 50% man, 50% God. He was all God and he was all man. God revealed his glory all the way from the cradle all the way to the throne. God revealed his glory in Jesus Christ. John says the Word was made flesh and we beheld what? We beheld his glory. God also reveals his glory. A place where is to be a theater of the glory of God is the church. What are you talking about, preacher, when you're talking about the glory of God? I believe we're talking about the manifest presence of God. In the Old Testament, it was that Shekinah glory that Israel had, that special Shekinah. But I believe it's the manifest presence of God and the power of the Holy Spirit of God in the church. If we do not have God's presence in the church, then we're no better than the Lions Club. We're no better than the Rotary Club. We're no better than any other organization if we do not have God's glory, God's manifest presence in the church. It ought to be the desire of every pastor for his church to experience a revival. I can't say that it's a cure-all, but if there was one cure-all for the church, I believe it would be old-fashioned, heaven-sent, God-sent revival. You let revival come to your church, it's going to take care of clean living. It's going to take care of faithfulness. It's going to take care of tithing. It's going to take care of witnessing. It'll take care of being loyal to the man of God and loving the Word of God if God would just send revival to the church. I have never known. I know God's sovereign. He can do as he pleases. But I personally, you may know, but I have never known for God to send revival where there was not a pastor who did not want revival. As Lee Robinson said, and it's true, you all heard it, you quoted it, it's become cliche, everything rises and falls on leadership. It is my responsibility. It is my desire as a pastor to lead my people in revival. We ought to live so close to God that we can hear the voice of God, what God is saying to us about revival. God never did anything until he first spoke to his man. God didn't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until he first spoke to Abraham. And I don't have anything expositional that I want to say today, but I want to just mention some things that I believe that we need to have as pastors when it comes to leading our people in revival. We may not see national revival, but I believe we can see local revival. Amen. I believe local revival can come to the local church. And I believe God's able to send national revival. Amen. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't believe that. I want to mention, too, about four things. I'll be very brief in my remarks today, but I hope and pray, men of God, that I may say something to you that will help you and encourage you as a man of God to want to lead your people in revival. First of all, there needs to be a spirit of examination. There needs to be a spirit of examination. Someone said that the unexamined life is not worth living. We as preachers, we like to point the finger at everybody else and other preachers. But it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We need to examine our lives. We need to do like Gypsy Smith told us to do. He told us that we need to draw a circle, get in the middle of it, and say, God, I want you to revive that one. We as pastors ought to be willing to have personal revival. We need to pray that God would birth a burden for revival. A lot of preachers don't even have a burden for revival. I know that I'm talking more than just a meeting, but in my area, I don't know how it is your area, preachers are not even having revival meetings anymore. And you do not have to have a big name evangelist to have revival to break out in your church. I believe God can touch our churches without even a big name. He so chooses to do so. We need God examine me. God, I want you to turn the searchlight of heaven upon me and try and see if there be any wicked way in me. We need to examine, as I've already mentioned, maybe some of this stuff that I say will maybe sound somewhat kind of repetitive of what I've said earlier, but we need to examine our motives as preachers as to why we want revival. How would I feel if God bypassed my church and touched another church down the road? How would I feel about it? Would I be glad about it? God touched your church, would I be glad about it? Or would I be jealous or I'd be envious about it? Hey, that's a good test to see if your motive's right about revival. If we really want revival, if we really got a real burden for revival, say, God, wherever you want to do it, I want to get in on it. God wants to, he can visit another denomination. Amen? God wants to, he can do so. And so we need to place ourselves in the way of revival. Examine ourselves. A lot of times it's for self-exaltation. Get ourselves in the limelight. The flame of revival leads to the fame of revival. There's fame that comes with God touching somebody and touching a place in revival. Do we want it to exalt ourselves, to make ourselves a big name? God will share his glory with no one. God will share his wisdom. God will share his power. God will share his grace. God will share his mercy. But God will share his glory with no one. God left Israel because of idolatry. The glory of God in the book of Ezekiel left the ark, went to the threshold, went to the eastern gate, went up on the Mount of Olives and left because of idolatry. Why? God will share his glory with no one. Preacher, examine yourself. We need to have the spirit of examination in our life. What's our motive for revival? Then there needs to be a spirit of preparation. There needs to be a spirit of preparation. Placing ourselves in the way of revival. I think about what John the Baptist said, prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. We can put ourselves in a place of revival, personally. It's sad when the pastor himself has no desire to see God move in revival. I don't know what it is. I just don't know if they just don't believe God can send revival. Or they've just gotten comfortable in status quo. Oh, my friend, it's sad when pastors do not have a burden for revival. As preachers, we need to get thoroughly right with God ourselves. My church may not have revival, but I can have revival. And I believe there's a good chance my church will have revival if I get revived. I ought to be willing to make whatever restitution that needs to be made. Confess whatever sin. Make whatever wrong is right. The Bible says, Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. He said, make his path straight. He said, every valley shall be exalted, every valley. What about depressions in your life? Is there depressions in your life that need to be filled? There's a lot of preachers that are depressed. I've had some preacher friends that were great men of God. Yes, great men of God, preached the Word of God, and blew their brains out. Committed suicide because of depression. God can give you victory over depression. Is there any valleys of depression in your life? And then he talks about every hill and mountain shall be brought low. Shall be brought low. What about pride in your life? I think one of the main sins in the ministry today is pride. We need to humble ourselves. If my people, which are called by my name, shall what? The Bible said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. God hates the sin of pride. I think about water. Water flows to the lowest place. Gravity brings water down to the lowest place. And if we are to experience the power of God and the touch of God upon our lives, then we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. His Bible says here, if there's any crooked places, that they'll be made straight. Is there any dishonesties in our life as preachers? Are we men of integrity? Are we honest with our people? Are we honest with God? Are we honest with ourselves? We need to prepare the way of the Lord. We can put ourselves in the place of preparation. See, God sent revival. I think about the man there at the Pool of Bethesda. He placed himself there where God could do something. He placed himself for 38 years. People would step over him. And when the waters were troubled, somebody always got there before he did, but he placed himself in that position. He never got tired of it. He never lost a desire. But 38 years, he placed himself in that position. And then one day, Jesus came by. And one day, Jesus said, rise and take thy bed and walk. I want to tell you, listen, if we put ourselves in the place of revival and make personal preparation, there might be just that time that Jesus passes by your church and touches you and touches your church in mighty revival. We need to make preparation personally and corporately in our church. Every preacher ought to be a revival preacher. Every pulpit ought to be a revival pulpit. Amen. Amen. We need to preach revival. Preach getting right with God. Preaching to the needs of the people. Preparation. Spirit of preparation in our life. I don't know when God's going to send us in His time. Fellas, we prayed for 15 years in our church for revival. I didn't know when God was going to send it. But I tried to get my people in a place, in a time of preparation, where God would move. I think it's sad in our churches that we have an evangelist to come in, and there is no preparation by that pastor before he ever gets there. I don't believe a church is really interested in revival if they don't make preparations for the man of God ever gets there. That preacher needs to preach. That preacher needs to have prayer meetings. The evangelist comes in, he tries to get things, and there have been no preparation for the man of God that ever gets there. And so there needs to be the spirit of preparation. I want you to look at thirdly, there needs to be a spirit of expectation. One thing I do know, I don't know a lot, but this one thing I do, God honors faith. We need to believe God for revival. Fellas, as long as God's on the throne, He can send revival. We need to believe God and trust God. What has clouded out your vision about revival? Is it the times we're living in? What is it? The discouraging place where you're pastoring? James Alexander Stewart says this, the great revivalist. He says, any school, any church, any mission board can bring about a new condition in their church, in their mission field, by claiming the promises of God and believing God and praying through. John Bunyan said, look in the book and see. Look and see and believe that God has never put anybody to shame that has ever believed the Word of God. There's a man by the name of James Colway who claimed Mark 11:24 about revival in England. Jesus said, what things you ever desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Hudson Taylor claimed Ezekiel 34:26. And I will make them in the places round about my hill a blessing, And I will cause the showers to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Jesus said, be it according to your faith. He said, all things are possible to them to believe. He said to Martha, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Faith is believing what God has said, acting in full assurance that it is so, in order that it might become so. We just need to believe God, that God can and God will, and that God will honor his word. Just trust God. You remember what God said to Abraham? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What did Jeremiah say? Our Lord God, thou hast made heaven and earth, and there is nothing too hard for thee. We claimed Isaiah 43:19 in our church. And when I shared with you this morning, God said, behold, I'll do a new thing. Now let your spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Preacher, won't you let God put a promise in your heart? Let God put a promise. All the promises of God may not be to us, but all the promises of God are for us. God gave some of them to Solomon. He gave some of them to Israel. But I believe we can claim the promises of God, and God can put them in our hearts and believe God to send revival. We need a spirit of expectation for God to do something. Hey, when I go to church now, I go with expectation God's going to do something. This meeting that we're having in 2 weeks in May, I'm believing God's going to do something. We had to close the meeting because we borrowed a tent where the preacher had a commitment. We had to give it back to him. Preachers didn't have a falling out. They would say, we're tired, let's quit. Fussing and fighting, no. God was still moving to the very last service. And I believe God and go with the expectation that God's going to pick up right where we left off. Expectation. Will you believe God for revival, preacher? Will you hold on to the prompt, pray through till God gives you the assurance that he's going to do something? Then I want to talk about the spirit of intercession. All revivals have been traced back to prayer. They say when Julius Caesar came to Rome, it was wood, and when he left, it was marble. Say it's more easier for Julius Caesar to get Rome to marble than it is most Baptist pastor to get his people to pray. We can get them to play ball and bingo and everything else. But the preacher who can get his people to pray could inaugurate a new condition in his church. Amen. We need to have some target prayer. I want to encourage you, pastor, if you don't get anything out of what I say today, please listen to what I'm going to say. If you can get just a remnant of people in your church, men, women, just a group of people that's about revival, a remnant in your church and just pray, believe God, you'll see God do something. All it takes is just a few. Get in, you've got too many. Get in, you need to weed them out. Get in with 300 men, defeated the Midianites. And all it takes is just a few. You go back, look for that kindling wood in your church. Look for those one that's really got a hunt. You've got a church within your church. You know what I'm talking about. Have you found your church within your church? You got to find your church within your church, your people. Well, there's a lot of driftwood, and I'm not concerned about all the people, but you've got driftwood in your church, but you've got kindling wood. You've got those that really got a desire for revival. You get them and you pray. We don't pray for bunions. We don't pray for sore toes. We don't pray for cataracts. And there's times for that. God is concerned about our physical needs. But there's times we just get together and we pray for revival and believe God and going to pray through that God does something. Spirit of intercession. God not only answers prayer, but God answers desperate prayer. Brothers, if there's ever a time we need to be desperate in our praying, it's now. Acts chapter 12, Simon Peter was in prison. He was to be executed. The Bible says in Acts 12, verse 5, that the church prayed without ceasing. Church prayed without ceasing. The early church didn't have buses. They didn't have budgets. I'm not against that. I'm not against none of that. They didn't even have buildings. But I want to tell you what they did have. They had God. And they had prayer. And did you know that it was an angel that came and fetched Simon Peter out of prison? But who was it and what was it that fetched the angel? It was prayer that fetched the angel. The angel fetched Simon Peter, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Brothers, I want to tell you, listen, prayer. As I said earlier, if you depend on education, you're going to get what education can do. If you depend on technology, you're going to get what technology can do. You depend on personalities, you're going to get what personalities can do. But if you depend on prayer, you're going to get what God can do. We know this. We preach this. We've read this. Listen, I'm not telling you anything you do not know. You preach prayers. You preachers pray. And I want to tell you, we have got to get our people to pray. Whenever God does something, Spurgeon said, he always sets his people to pray. Trace the history of revival. It's always been because of prayer. Amen. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and what? Not to faint. He didn't say men ought always to sing. And I'm for singing. He didn't even say men ought always to preach. And I'm for preaching. Why do you think our pulpits are in the center of our churches? These Methodist churches, that's all right, and they got two pulpits, but in the Baptist church in the middle. Because preaching ought to have the preeminence. Amen right there. And I want to tell you something. Listen, Jesus said men ought always to pray, because if we don't pray, what good is our singing going to be? Amen. Praise the Lord. We ought to have the spirit of intercession in our churches. Preachers, I don't know how you can do it. But you get your people to praying, I guarantee it'll change your church. It'll bring the atmosphere. Amen. And then there ought to be a spirit also of revelation. And what are you talking about, preacher? Preacher, you need to ask God to give you some discernment. You need to discern when God's up to something in your church. What if you go in Sunday morning and it just breaks out? You don't have no preacher. You ain't got no evangelist coming. You hadn't advertised. What if it just breaks out? Are you going to miss God? How many times have we missed God? I look back over my ministry, and I saw times where God moved in a meeting, and I shut it down. I needed to use a little discernment and say, God's up to something. God will speak to you. We ought to get so close to God we can hear when he speaks to us. It wouldn't hurt every now and then. God moves in on a Sunday. Let's come back on Monday night and let's see what God's up to. God moves on Monday night. Maybe God will do something spontaneously. Greatest meetings we can have is when God does something spontaneous, something that's not planned, something that's not over. Why, preacher? Because God gets the glory for it. We're so structured. What we've been taught and feel like we've got to have a big name evangelist and all that. We need to get out of that and realize God can do something special. God can do something great spontaneously in our churches. Amen. One of the things we need to discern, if God's up, how do you know God's up to something in your church? First of all, there's going to be a spirit of brokenness and confession. When your people are just broken before God and make confessions, privately and personally, there's nothing any more painful than having to humble yourself before God and making something right. I've heard stories where God will begin to move on a church and folks just start getting right with God, people going to one another. Is that going on in your church? Something like that going on? God's up to something. You need to use a little discernment. And then there's a spirit of travail when God moves on your people to pray. For our revival meeting, we was keeping the doors of the church open and men were just coming and praying all through the day. We gave segments for people to pray around the clock and people chose out. Some chose 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. God will move on your people. When you see that spirit of travail, ask God to give you discernment that God is more likely up to something, going to do something special in your church. When people, the Bible says, when Zion travailed, she brought forth children. Amen. And then there's that spirit of unity. One of the reasons why we can't have revival in our churches is splintered and split, fussing and fighting. Nothing grieves God any more than that. Psalms 133 and verse 1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God loves unity. Amen. Listen, you may not dot your I's and cross your T's like me on everything, but I want to tell you, if you're saved, you believe in the blood, You believe in the virgin birth, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. That He's God, He's deity. Brother, we can fellowship. We can have unity on the main essentials of life. And listen, when there's a spirit of unity, most Baptist churches, I can talk about Baptists because I'm one of them. But we've had some of the best unity in our church that I've seen, knock on wood. And I bless His name for it, but God, the Holy Ghost, I'm telling the Spirit of God can move where there is a spirit of unity. And you say, God, well, what are You trying to show me? Is it, God, You're getting ready to send revival to my church? God, give us that spirit of revelation. God, help me to get in a position. Help me to get in a place. God, if our church does not have revival, don't let it be my fault. Don't let it be because I was not willing, because I didn't go with God. There's been times I've been in meetings and God began to move and God just saved souls and the power of God fell and the preacher said, we're not going to go any further and shut it down and knew that God would do some things great. Fellas, don't be afraid of the unusual. We need to get out of being in bondage to the brothers. We've got a bunch of popes in our area. We ain't Catholics either, but we got a bunch of popes feel like you ought to tell everybody what to do, how to do things. God's going to tell you how to pastor your church. Amen. I'm not going to tell you how to pastor your church. You don't tell me how to pastor my church. I will get close to God, He'll tell me. God moves on you to do something. You mind God, go with God, preachers. Let's believe God. Amen. And to Him be glory in the church. Ain't nothing any worse than going to church and just going through the motions. You know what a rut is, don't you? A rut is a grave with both ends knocked out of it. Most of us is in a rut. We just need to pray that God would just come in and just shake our little program up. Let the big preacher come. I don't mind when the big preacher shows up. When the big preacher shows up, I'm glad to get out of the way and let God have His will and let God have His way. Fellas, that's what's on my heart. Let's pray together. Hoping to help you in some way. Let's pray together. Father, God, as men of God, help us, Lord, to lead our people in revival. Father, help me not to miss God because I'm not willing to pay the price. God, give me discernment to see when you're up to something. God, when You trouble the waters in our church, God, You're wanting to do something special. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray You deliver us from an evil heart of unbelief. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Bless my brothers. God, give them the spirit of faith. God, I pray that You'd birth a burden in their heart, God. Lord God, I pray like they've never had before, to see God do something among their people. Lord, we need something more in our churches than a pep rally. God, we need revival. It's either revival or removal. It's either repent or perish. God, don't take away the candlestick. Oh, God, I pray we'll be like a city that's set on a hill. God, begin in me, God. Begin in my heart, God. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. For we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. And all of God's men say it.